historic visit with Alma this Sunday, the 9th of June, 74, with Faye Burke and Debbie and Mamo. Channel 1, right, and beginning of the visit, this historic visit with Alma this Sunday, the 9th of June, 74, with Faye Burke and Debbie and Mamo. Channel 1, right, and beginning of this historic visit with Alma this Sunday, the 9th of June, 74, with Faye Burke and Debbie and Mamo. Channel 1, right, beginning of this historic visit with Alma this Sunday, the 9th of June, 74, with Faye Burke and Debbie and Mamo.
I guess that's what you'd call it.
Yeah.
Oh, but if I didn't have what a place I got, I'd love to live out here. Oh, I love it.
Well, Guy's going to be in. He's out in the field. He's going to be in a little while.
Yeah.
And he works out there, comes in, just drinking the lion's juice while I
what, thank you.
Work on these sounding a little bit over here. And, with the rest of us, we'll round up one at a time. Isn't that wonderful?
Did I hear somebody talking?
Lord.
Oh, Lord.
You don't mean it.
Well, I just declare. How you do?
How you do yourself?
I don't know whether I look like myself or not.
Yep, I recognize you, but you know, she had talked a little bit before I really got on the hair.
Yeah, that's right.
But now, I didn't think you'd know me. Cody rags me so much about being so fat that I think
you're supposed to be sort of stringy, aren't you?
I thought so. I went to Dr. Emil 2 weeks ago, and he said, I wish you could get back like you were when you started going to me. And I said, man, I can't starve. But I tell you one thing, Guy, what it is.
Sit right down.
This year not working and just eating more and more, that'll really put on you folks to get around and walk. Y'all stay slender.
Well, let me tell you, I still have trouble with these animals don't mind me.
They don't?
No.
I quit messing with mine. I don't know whether they'd mind me or not. But you know, a few days, we've had 3 messes of peas, and I carried the pea hulls out to dump them over the field.
Yeah.
And I called a cow. I called a baby. I hadn't called that cow, I don't believe, in 2 years. And you know, she come just as straight to me and come there humming to me just like she used to.
Oh, don't tell me. Is that right?
Yeah. But Cody does. Well, I don't have but 3. Cody does all that they get. I just won't. As good as I love them, I just can't. Now, here a while back, of course, that was his cow. She was missing. Well, I didn't even offer to see about him when he came in. He asked Diane if she'd seen him. She said no, but she was going to go look for him.
Yeah.
He said if Fanny had been able, said she had been all over that whole field. But I don't ever go out there.
Yeah.
If I'm able and the Lord's willing, tomorrow I'm going to go out there and my little boys to hunt some blackberries.
You think you'll find any?
Diane Cody's remarried and got the second round, and she's got a little boy 9 years old, and he said that he was out there that day picking. Yes, he found some berries, so.
Yeah.
I thought I'd go out there and see if I could find
it. Well, now, I forget, you know. But these bears down here, they start out promising, but then they don't never get anywhere. I think there's too much behavior grass. No, no, even out there where there ain't any behavior grass, they still just knot up.
Oh?
We haven't had a mess of bears down here.
No, I haven't had a mess, not on the wing. Because I used to go out there with the boys and pick them, but they'd eat them fast as I could pick them. You never could get none ahead.
Yeah.
And when I had a little pothole about a quart, every time that's what we'd have to take. Well, they'd wait till we got that pot about full, you know, and then they'd start eating.
Yeah.
Sometimes then we'd have about that deep. At first I was afraid to make them sick, but I found out it doesn't hurt them.
Doesn't hurt them.
Well, I'll tell you about your house.
Yeah.
I just told Faye, I was sitting in there a while ago, and I got to looking around, and I thought, well, I know no air, artificial air couldn't smell and taste this good. This is the nicest place I've seen in years and years.
Well, the trouble is, ain't any like it. They all, most, not many like it anymore.
Oh, I love it. This is so much better than any air you could buy.
Way on
you educated people wouldn't call that, but my sister, they laugh at me not calling about buying air, but that's what this is, artificial air, what they get.
Yeah.
But it's not sweet and good like this.
No.
This is the nicest place.
It feels good around 15 minutes. And after that, I just threw and let the windows up.
Yeah. But you know, 2 winters ago, I was at my baby sister's. I say winters. Well, the first night, I had one wool blanket doubled on me. So the next night, I told her I wanted some more cover. Okay, that morning it turned colder at night, and her husband got it next morning. And I had 2 thick wool blankets doubled on me. Got it next morning, he said, you know, it turned cold before daylight. He said, I had to pull that sheet up on me. And there I was sleeping on the 2 double blankets. And him said,
now, who was that?
My baby sister's husband.
Who's your baby sister?
She lives in Live Oak. I don't think you ever seen her.
Oh.
I used to say anybody I ever could love better than Elva, I didn't want to see him.
Well, do you see her now?
Nope. Oh, I haven't seen her in 3 or 4 months.
I'm dying.
Well, she has a starvation diet, part-time, and then, poor thing, last 2 years, she has aged. It's pitiful. She's got, I don't know if she stays on a diet most of the time, but her cholesterol will get way too high, and she has to go to the hospital and stay a while.
Oh.
And her husband used to dress so neat, and last 2 times I saw him look like he'd borrowed somebody's clothes. He had lost so much weight, and he just hung up, looked like he'd borrowed somebody's clothes.
Yeah.
But I had a letter from her yesterday, and she said that Otis was having some bulldozer done. I didn't know he still owned anyway around the lake. She said he was able, he's just out of the hospital about a week, and she said he was able to be out there where he's having some bulldozing done, you know.
Well, if he's having bulldozer done, he better be out there, hadn't he?
I imagine. She said that there's had to be somebody out there, but I think they charge for that from the way she talked.
Yeah.
It used to be $10 an hour when I knew about it, but I imagine now we like everything else. But one is not hardly able to wait on the other, but they're fortunate their daughter lives right there close to them.
Yeah.
They used to live in town. Well, then Otis kept saying he was going to move out. So now they live out a mile.
Yeah.
They got a beautiful red brick home, and then not very far, they got 3 bedrooms, but I think the daughter's got 4. Just a big wide yard between them.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Well, they're pretty well established then, aren't they?
It's a beautiful place where they live, but I'd be scared of all those big high pines. It's just a pretty place for both of them, but then I don't think they'll ever really enjoy it. Poor thing, she stays. She don't stay in the bed too much, but she's up around, but I don't think she feels too good in the way she looks. And Otis, oh.
Well, what did Otis do? I don't remember him either.
Well, long.
I don't even remember you talking about him. I guess you did.
I might have. If I didn't, I was thinking about him.
Yeah.
But anyway, at that time, Otis run a tractor place. And then he sold that along about that time. He went in the car business. And after his health, I think that's what done. Anyway, about 2 years ago, he sold that out. I think I read that in the paper. They wouldn't have told it, but I happened to get hold of the papers. I think it was $95,000 he sold that for. But I heard him tell Brother Hamp one time, he had two line of business. There where they live, it's close to 200 acres for a pasture. They live in the site right by. But then, I say 10 miles guessing out there, he's got 550 acres in his pasture. That's where he gets his money from, he said out there. Oh, he's got cows out there. He's got cross fences. If I had just one of those little places,
yeah,
I'd be rich.
Yeah, you'd be well to do.
But you know, Otis hadn't got too much education, but he's got a business sense or whatever you call it. I used to go out there with him, and I don't see how he remembers all that many. But now this cow, he would say this certain cow, maybe he bought her for $10 or $15, old poor cow, you know. And put her down that good pasture and then feed her. In a little while, she'd bring him a calf, and he said it always the first calf would bring more than the cow did you paid for, you know. I don't know, but he buys a lot. He goes to sales.
Yeah.
I know one time he said he went to a sale, and he knew the man, I think, and he was going to take a truckload of poor cows there. I don't know why he wanted to sell them poor. I don't know about that. But Otis bought several from him, but they went through the sale, you know. So Otis bought several of his cows, and he said the only thing in the world was to need pasture. So the old man was too lazy, he wouldn't grow no pasture. And so he got them real cheap. And he said, you couldn't say that it was dishonest. He said if a man put them up for sale, because he wouldn't grow them a pasture.
Yeah.
He said, but it was a shame to make the profit he did off of them.
Yeah.
Just for lack of a little feed, you know.
Nothing he could do about it.
No, I said it. He just happened to have a good pasture, and that other man didn't. I said that's the reason why he can make so much profit.
Well, I had some experience with that pasture business. When I come down here, I didn't aim to go in the cattle business.
You didn't?
No. You know, I just want to farm a little bit. And then I got to looking at the thing, you see, it was all planted in pastures. See, the whole place was in pasture. They hadn't done any truck farming here for several years. And I thought, well, I just can't plow up all this grass. So, one thing led to another. But I bought a herd of cattle. And they unloaded them right through that lane. And I thought, Lord, now I'm in business. And that was about the first week of April when they did that. And the cows were calving, and the bull was with them too. Well, they just spread out here and put their heads down and eating away. And I thought, well, sir, I'm going to have a fine bunch of cows. And you know what? It's green if you walk from it. But if you walk along, you didn't see much green. All you saw was the sand.
Oh.
It hasn't had any care, any fertilizing, or anything else, you see. And there I was, and that year, those cows, they didn't get enough to eat. They were slow breeding back. Well, now that's how well qualified I was.
You have to learn.
Into the cow business.
Yeah.
I didn't even know when I had pasture and didn't have.
Well, you know, it's been so dry, Cody hadn't been quit feeding the cows very long.
Oh, it has.
Yeah. Well, last year, I know he fed them up too late up in the year and he had to fertilize the grass, and you know, I didn't know it. I thought so. But he was worse off after he fertilized it. It didn't rain.
Uh-huh.
And he was worse off than he had if he hadn't fertilized it. But after it rained, oh, then it went to growing.
Yeah.
I think he's got 19 cows. I got that one.
Yeah. Well, Cody keeps his hand in. He farms a little bit, plants a little pasture, or at least keeps it going.
Yeah. Well, now, he didn't plant no pasture last fall. He said it'd be cheaper to buy the feed, but he didn't buy none. Only he bought cottonseed meal. I was the one who got him to do that. That's the only thing I had to say about it. But you can put out the cottonseed meal, a third salt and two-thirds cottonseed meal. That won't keep them fat, but they'll stay good and strong on it. So I got him on that.
A third salt.
One-third salt and two-thirds the cottonseed meal. That's the best cow feed you can do for strength. Now, and they don't get enough to stay fat, but they'll stay good and strong.
Yeah.
But this year, got busy and didn't put out as much of it. But I didn't know it a while back, and he said, oh, just hadn't had time. But he's been really catching it. I don't know how many years he's been working it today, supposed to work in the daytime. But if something go wrong, then he has to go back down there. If he just come home in the evening, he's got to go back. And sometimes then they call him after supper and go down there and stay till 2 o'clock. I told him, I said, I hope they get the good out of him.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I don't think he gets one penny extra. They just work him, you know.
Yeah.
But he's got a real nice boss, man.
Well, he's been there as long as they just figure
free labor.
Run the place. So they just.
He told me why, but you know, it would know. I don't know what that is. But anyway, he has to write the checks and see about all such as that.
Oh, yeah.
And then they said just do that and let him go, but then them old computer things tear up and he has to go down there. I don't know what he has to do about it, but he's got to be there. Sometime I tell him, I hope to get the good out of it.
Yeah.
And then the yards growed up. I started to tell Faye about it. Charles Kane, his daddy runs a filling station, and I talked to him over the phone. Somebody recommended told him what to do. Oh, he had stuff and killed him old mimosa trees. Well, when Cody finally got around to it, him and Mr. Kelly sprayed him. But it was during dry weather. That was last summer. And I want you to know that moisture really put them to growing. See, they was dry.
Yeah.
And then they went and sprayed them.
Yeah.
But they really went to growing. I said, I didn't want more Charles Kane stuff sprayed where I live. Had old big mimosa tree there. When Cody brought it to me, it was about that high, and it was so withered, it looked like an umbrella shut up.
Was that your best start with mimosa?
Yep. And I watered, and I fertilized, and I pitted, and long then I had where I could find it. Well, that thing is high. Ooh! But last year, I noticed that leaves started to look like kind of limp. And I thought, well, what's happened to you? Well, it died. I called it the blight. Tim Cato named something else, said he got a lot of trees and gangling. Well, it had a small tree.
I didn't know that.
Well, she said it got a lot of them. But I didn't care about that old tree. I wanted it to die. But I had some, I don't know what to call them now. We used to call them bridal wreaths.
Yeah.
Well, they was as big as from the end of this table over there to the wall, you know, drooped over and higher than I am. Oh, that's beautiful. Well, that blight got three of my big bushes.
Oh, it got them too.
Got those. I said, well, the old mimosa tree was well enough for it to blight, but I said, I did hate for my pretty bushes to die. One of them was a double. I don't know, just for my child, I always loved it. I put them out there, little sprigs, you know, about like that. Oh, fertilized them. And I had something. Cody said I'm going to Chattahoochee because I can't remember nothing. But you know what, it has all those red berries and thorns that long on it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway.
Oh, yes, I know that very well.
And they're pesties, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Well, Lil said, you know, he wouldn't let one grow in his place. And I said, well, I'll just claim a place out there and set me out one. Well, I set off out there back of my other things. Hamp gave me a little old bush. He found, Hamp had an old bush. Oh, I never seen none no bigger than Lou. But he found a little one about like that, and he gave it to me. And after he dug it up, Lou said she didn't want that giveaway. And I said, well, keep it, Hamp. He said he had one too many. Said he wasn't going to set it back out. Said he pulled up every one he found. Said if it weren't for Miss Lou, he'd have that big one dug up for the roots. Oh, it was so beautiful. But anyway, I petted and babied with it. Oh, it was much higher than I am. So, they had green berries on it in the spring, like in the fall when they turned up pretty red. Well, I went out there, but you know, a lot of birds out there.
Yeah.
They usually kept them picked off. I went out there and it was just loaded with
birds. Yeah, there was birds out there.
Well, my bush was just loaded with green berries, and I thought, well, maybe they can't pull all that many off. Well, then I didn't go out there for a while, but putting stuff in the freezer and messing around with the young'uns. Went out there and it was just as dead as a board. Rotted off right even with the dirt. I hadn't been out there, you see, lately about it, and it was done so old that it rotted off right to the dirt. I don't know where that blight, it was right close to where that blight doings was. It might have got it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I reckon I just, well, I don't tend to nothing. I don't need no more flowers. I got some coleus and things, but I don't need them.
Well, you keep your coleus on the pots. No, you plant them out.
Yeah, well, I got mine in pots because I put leaf mold in the pot. Cody's oldest boy is 11 years old. He'll water them for me.
You, them big hydrangeas, didn't you have some of them?
One of them died graveyard dead, and the other one is still there, the prettiest one. Now I got me a pink one.
Oh, have you? Oh.
But just this year, Gus bought it. Ooh. Gus got me one about that big for Mother's Day and about that high.
Yeah. What did you have sitting on the porch there, right there, in the, right, looking to the right there in the corner of your yard? What bush was that?
Tomato, I reckon. No, it wasn't on, you said it was on the porch?
No, if you were sitting on the porch looking out, it'd be to your right.
Yeah, that was tomato.
Was that a tomato bush?
Mm-hmm. It's way higher than I am.
Yeah?
One on each side, one's a red and one's a pink one.
One's a red and then one's a pink one.
Pink perfection over there, and I forgot the ones over here. Red is ugly.
Oh, shoot, fine. I didn't
eat. That red one's ugly. It's just a, kind of a single bloom with a yellow center. It's real horrible.
Yeah.
But that yellow one's beautiful.
Yeah. God,
there's
not a thing changed in the yard.
Well, it's rode up.
It hasn't. Not. Yeah. It's, you know. It's just like it was, the yard.
Yeah, but that backyard needs mowing. Oh, but I thought if school was out, I get Tommy, the oldest, and of course I told Faye, Cody tells me that's the only grandchild anybody ever had, and sometime now that's the only somebody ever had a grandchild tell the truth, and I can't name all of it. But I don't pay no attention to him, but I don't somebody else fling him in my face. I don't like it at all. But I do love that little old booger.
Well,
I love all of them, but Tommy's more affectionate than the other three, and I was telling Faye about it. If you have anything, he won't save his daddy some. Something extra, he won't save his daddy some. And if you give him chewing gum, he's going to sure if his daddy's on the place, see that if Cody wants some of it.
Oh, really?
And them other three, you can give them a pack of chewing gum if you give it to them. They put a bit of it in the mouth at one time if you let them. They'll never say, well, do you reckon my daddy would want a piece or you want a piece? Give me all you can. If Tommy don't have but one plug of chewing gum, he won't know if his daddy wants part of it.
What kind of cigars did Leo smoke?
I don't know. I bought him anyone, but I don't know.
Well, I can smell them right now. You see, we'd eat and go out there on the porch and sit for a while. Swaying and all, and Leo would always light up one of them cigars.
And you know what? he could smoke one. Now, I've had people say it wasn't so, but I'm telling you the truth. He smoked so much in that fire room, if he sit in the smoke,
yeah.
Al, you could open up the windows and the doors and everything, and the next morning you could still smell like smoke and get in the curtains and in the bedclothes. But people said that wouldn't do it, but it'll do it.
Yeah, especially that cigar smoke.
That's what I'm talking about. I can't remember till you mentioned it. I hadn't thought about it in years, but I don't know what he smoked, but they could you could smell them, I know.
You could smell them.
But you're talking about that hydrangea bush, you know, over there where he said he spit on it till he killed it. Gradually went, well, it didn't finish dying until about 2 years ago, but it just kept dwindling back. And it would never survive, but he spit so much on it. I don't know who told me that.
Yeah.
Said somebody had said he had it so preserved with that nicotine, I reckon.
Yeah.
But it didn't die all at one time, just grazed along. But it finally, a bit of it died. But you know what, since you mentioned it, I never did say nothing didn't make no difference. I'd buy him those cigars or tobacco, whatever he told me. But since he'd been gone, I thought about it different times. It didn't bother me. I didn't care nothing about it. And I used to buy them, and I know one time I bought a bunch of cigars and had them stuck in my sweater pockets, and I told Ms. Hitchcock, I said, I know people thought I was crazy walking out, but he sent me back in the store, and I thought, well, I'd have to be in a hurry. I didn't wait for him to hunt the bag, you know, and I just dropped them in my sweater pocket. I said, I know people thought that was funny, old woman walking down the street, both pockets full. But I believe that's on somebody I've seen smoke and chew at the same time. You ever notice it?
Oh, I have seen it, yes. And let me tell you, I've done it. But you see, I had to quit. It caught me before I was out there. They caught me. They got me over the barrel. I didn't have a choice.
Well, I didn't know if you ever meant you ever smoked. I didn't know.
No, I used to smoke and chew and then smoke and chew at the same time.
Well, little dude.
I could go to bed with a chew back in my mouth.
Oh, no.
I could eat breakfast, dinner with a chew practically with it.
But you must have been as bad as Leo.
Yes.
You know, I don't mean because he
did. He just lasted a little longer than I did, that's all.
Well, I don't think it really helped him any, but some people would say to me, why in the world would you put up with it? I said, that doesn't bother me. I knew before I married him he smoked, and I remember seeing him spitting a time or two, but that wasn't none of my business.
Yeah. Well, Leo put on his Sunday manners, you know. You wouldn't notice all those things.
No, we had a plain understanding. I used to tell him, I said, when he first started talking about getting married, of course, I didn't cater to it right off, because I had my mind made up that I wasn't ever going to marry, I thought. But as I married him, I told him, I let Leo talk me into it. But anyway, I said, the no use the people put on, just be the natural self. Then if they ever marry, they won't come up some big calamity.
Yeah.
But I know you've seen it. When they're together, everything one does is just fine.
Yeah.
And whatever the other one does, just fine. And don't be married no time for it to be like that.
It don't take much, does it?
Nope. So if they just be the natural selves, then they won't have to have such big falling out.
You know, one of the things that stuck in my mind, I remember I heard you were the one that talked about it, was that's when Leo's daddy was ailing. He was sick for a good while before he died.
Yes, sir, I don't know how long.
Well, was he able to get around a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he never was in the bed. He just creeped around and... Now, you talking about Lil got that on his side. He'd go with that old pipe in his mouth, and it would stink. Oh, mercy. And then directly he'd lay that down and put enough tobacco in his mouth off the last of him a day or two.
Yeah.
But he bragged all the time. He'd taken 14 doses of medicine a day. And then at night, he'd take something, he didn't have that through a doctor. He didn't have no prescription, rather. He didn't count that, take two of them every night. And then he taken some kind of old capsules at night to get the asthma smothering.
Oh.
He didn't count them, but he just taken 17 during the day.
Yeah. And he brags about it.
Oh, the cute thing. I don't care if the president had to come there and sit down at that table, he'd have to rehearse all them pills. And he had one certain glass, but that old man was 55. Oof! But he had one certain glass you had to put that water in by his plate to take a bunch of pills.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know where he spilled a little bit, and he jumped up and grabbed the glass and went and threw it out of doors. Of course, I wouldn't have picked it up if it stayed there forever, but I noticed he threw it out there on a little bush, you know. It would have stayed there now if it had been left up to me. But Leo picked it up after then and washed it. But he'd, every time anybody come, he'd have to tell all that. Some people didn't mind it, some did. But I don't know how 55 he was when he was a younger man. But he did pretty well when we first got there. But the last year he lived, of course, I didn't know part of it. I didn't know he carried a loaded pistol or I'd left him and Leo right there. I'd taken through and walked off and left him right there. But anyway, after he'd been dead 2 or 3 weeks, Leo told him about it. And I said, well, you waited a late hour to tell me. He said, there wasn't no use to disturb you about it. And I said, well, why'd he carry it for? He said, I don't know. The old man didn't have a bit of sense. I don't know why he won't carry that pistol. But if I'd have known it, he wouldn't have been carrying that pistol to me there and him that crazy.
Me either.
Why? He, you know, I ought not tell this, but then you link it together. Sometimes he'll go down and get medicine or chew in the back or whatever he'd go after. And that old man sat out on the porch and just cried, wanting to go home. Well, now, put that with toting the loaded pistol together,
yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So, but I never did read across him but one time. My Eva was having a foot, she had infantile paralysis when she was 3 years old. And of course, she limped on it, but she got to where it was real, real bad. So she was going back and forth to Warm Springs. Stay there, I think, 2 weeks, and home 2 weeks. I think they operated on it 4 times. But anyway, Gussie, that's one of my sisters. At that time, her husband was living, and she was living in La Crosse. But she'd come pick me up. If we weren't there when Elva got there, she'd drive up in a few minutes. And if they was going to leave, well, we'd be there in a few minutes before they left, you know, go back to the hospital. So one morning at the breakfast table, I said, Leo, if I don't get back in time, I said, would you turn the cows in and feed them? Yeah. But he knew I was going to Live Oak, see, so I asked him if he didn't get back in time, he'd turn the cows in and feed him, yeah. Okay. We got back, Jesse and I got back to full dark. And next morning, I was sweeping and out in the hall. He called me. Said he had a crow to pick with me, and I went and sat down and propped my broom up there by me. I said, okay, the white and the black one. He said, you can be the judge of that. So I sat there a little bit, and I said, well, I don't
know. Is that Leo?
No,
no,
Leo.
No, that's Daddy.
Daddy, Leo, but the cross. Yeah, Carlo, you say Leo was scared to cross me, but he won't. So anyway, no, Leo wouldn't have said nothing about it. Went on and stayed up 2 days.
Leo didn't cross anybody, much did he?
No. So the old man said, I just want to tell you, I don't like if you slip off to me for me to go to Live Oak. Oh, but I had to wait a little bit before I could know what to say.
Yeah.
I said, well, I want you to know I didn't slip off. He said, why, you went while I went to the mailbox. I said, well, you're going too fast for me. I said, you know, I have to catch a ride when I go, and I have to catch a ride when it's convenient. Yeah.
When it comes.
That's right. And he said, well, I don't want you slipping off from me. And I said, no, I don't guess you did. I said, I didn't slip off from you. You don't never have to. I said, did you hear me ask you if he'd turn the cows in and feed them? But he didn't do that. Yes. I said, that was sufficient. I said, when I was a child, I had to ask if I could go somewhere.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not a child anymore. So that we dropped it. He never did mention anything more about me going. I went up several times.
Well, the thing that I don't know if I've thought about that one time. I've thought about that 100. Is, you know, he'd sit out there on the porch and just cuss away. After all he'd worked to get all them buildings out there and all that place there, and then he had to die and leave it.
You mean you seen that old man? Well, I didn't know that.
No, you told me.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, yeah, he did say that different times.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. He'd walk sometimes, sit out there, and if he was able, he'd walk from one old building to the other, and I kept thinking he was going to set him afire.
Yeah.
I really did.
Oh. Well, now that's, yes, that might.
Because he was so hurt
to
know he had to leave him there. And lived slave for him all his natural born life. And of course, I couldn't put two together. Looked like he'd thought, well, it wouldn't hurt if Leo did use him. But it acted like, Miss, I forgot I told you all that. But he did, he acted just like, well, you could tell in his talk. You could just tell. I know one time he's telling Brother Hamps that Taylor's that. And Hamps thought a lot of Mr. Campbell. And he said when he was a young man, he said he wouldn't, nobody know truthful of Mr. Campbell. And I said, well, I don't know about how truthful he was, but I said, he sure won't tell the truth now. Don't think Camp liked that too much. But he was telling Hamp all that rigmarole. Hamp couldn't say nothing, but I could tell it didn't suit him.
Well, you see, I kind of agreed with him. At least I could see that, because, you see, they had done some work. They had worked. Well, you see, by the time I got up there, they'd all let up a little bit, right smart. And now I tell you, one of the things that got me was shelling them peanuts. And what I could see was, you see, that it would take all winter sitting there after supper shelling peanuts to have enough to plant. And them was the slowest things to shell I ever saw in my life.
That's right.
I just couldn't. And just take forever. Well, of course, I was slow at it, but. Well, that's part of it, see?
Yeah.
That's part of the thing, that you see, that he'd been through.
The old man never did. Ham said he worked as a young man, but I don't think he ever did so much. He was doing a lot. He wanted it. His youngest boy was buried about 2 months ago. Said he used to say that his daddy had to keep something for him to do. Said kept him shelling peanuts at night to be sure they never did go anyplace.
Yeah.
And he said after he got old enough to go, he said then they'd lock up the house and he'd have to sleep in his car. The old man would lock up the house and wouldn't let him in then when he got by. He had moved. He lived in Ocala for years, I don't know how long. But he talked a little about selling out and going to Ohio, I believe it was. His son-in-law said that people up there made more money sweeping out of office than did down here any job you could get.
Yeah.
Of course, he'd fail for that. But Leo told him, he said, well, you like 2 or 3 years, whatever it is, retiring from the city. And he said, if you quit now, I said, that'll kill all your retirement, won't it? Well, it wouldn't make no difference. He'd make so much money up there. But Lil told him, talked to him, not because I don't think that mattered. But he decided he wouldn't change his mind. He wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Well, then, not because Lil was gone. That didn't have anything to do with me either way. But later on, he decided this son-in-law, you know, come back and forth and tell him all that good money. Well, he sold his home and partly gave it away, quit his job. I think some of them said he liked a year, he was tired. But anyway, he quit that and he went up there. And then his wife left him for, I don't know how long, maybe a year. But they was back together when he died. They called, you remember Eula, I reckon you saw it. Well, she didn't live awfully far from us, about, I think, maybe 2 miles. Well, she called me one night and told me about it.
Who is Eula?
That was Lil's baby sister. So Eula told me about it. Gibbs' body was going to be brought in Saturday. said that he sat down and ate a, I believe the way he told me, said that they said he ate a hearty supper. And I don't know where he's fixing to go to work. It seemed like Nishi said he worked at night.
Are you talking about Leo's baby
brother?
Ham?
No, his name is Gibb.
Gibb, yes.
And my brother was one named Ham. But anyway, she said that Gibb ate a hearty supper, and I don't know where she said he started to look at the paper a little bit of something or other. But anyway, I don't know, but I think she said they pronounced him dead on arrival at the hospital. He had a heart attack and he was gone.
Yeah.
But I reckon he left his wife a good social security and insurance. I don't know about that.
And he lived at Ocala.
He lived there for years.
Yeah. But he got the Ohio fever. I've seen people do that.
Well, now
they
that.
They just figured that people live better up there.
Well, that son-in-law told him so many tales. Of course, now, I've never been there. Don't misunderstand me now. But I heard him telling he would tell Leo, you know, what I always said, why, you could go to that sweet office out once a day and make more money at that than you could at any kind of job you'd have here.
Well, if you just let that percolate in your mind a little while, you'd really get dissatisfied.
Yeah, yeah. And his wife wanted to go up there because the daughter had moved up there.
Yeah.
I was just her young. It wasn't little Gibbs, but he adopted it. He was in service, and she got this young. So when he come back, they went on to live together, claiming to be married. But I don't understand such as that. But you know, that's where Herbert married. While he was in service, she lived with, I forgot that man's name. And he hadn't been out of service, I don't believe, over 2 weeks before she come back to her.
Yeah.
But that part, that don't suit me. That was him, but I just can't go for that. When Cody had his nigger missing, I said, that was the worst nigger miss anybody ever had, and I was caught right in the middle.
Yeah, and couldn't do a thing.
Couldn't do a thing. Of course, I had the little children a lot.
Now let me see, your brother Hamp, I didn't know him.
He was much taller than you are.
Oh, really?
I didn't know how tall, but right now I seem to me like it was 6 feet, 7 inches.
Good Lord.
Something like that. I think I got it wrote down at home, but I got the rest to forget.
Yeah.
He used to weigh around 180 and 85 pounds all the time, but he started way before the Depression firing. I don't know where you know. He used to fire with coal, but you know that was work. You never did do it like me, but it was work. Well, then he was promoted for engineer. Well, then the Depression came on, and of course, a lot of the young engineers went back to firing, and the firemen was laid off. They just didn't have the work, and
yeah.
Hemp happened to be one laid off.
Oh.
And well, in fact, some of the younger engineers, he knew, you know, was laid off. But Hamp never, he worked, he painted. Hamp said, why, you have to do something. But he made a deal on the WPA, and he made me laugh till I cried. He didn't have good sense, I don't reckon.
What was that about?
Anyway, he applied for it, and they told him to come in the morning. So he went and worked that day. So that evening, the boss man said, you own your own home? Yeah. No mortgage? Nope. I said, I don't mortgage nothing. You own that car you're driving? Yes, sir. Is it paid for it? Yes, sir. Well, do you have any money in the bank? Yes, sir. He said, well, we don't need you. And Hemp said, well, thank you. He said, work these son of bitches, it won't work.
Didn't bother him. He didn't cry over
No, he didn't cry back. We didn't tell it so funny. He just made one day and said he was too sorry they wouldn't have him on the WPA. But he was, yeah. But he painted.
Yeah.
You know that overpass out from Lustway out there by Burnish Lake?
Say it again.
You remember that overpass out from Lustway out there by Burnish Lake? But
yeah.
He hit Bill Lab.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. He worked all the time, too much. And he painted houses for people and, oh, I don't know what all. He got, really, he said he found, didn't find more for him to do than he could hold out to do. But then after he went back to firing, he fired coal a while, and then they got diesel now. There wasn't nothing to that. He didn't do that many years then before he really got to running the engine. And then after his wife lost her mind, the people were so merciful to him, they let him run the switch engine. That was before you ever knew me.
Yeah.
She shot herself twice. She's still living and he's gone. But you know, I didn't have nothing to do with that. But I wouldn't want nobody in the world to cater to me like he did that woman. No, sir. I don't want nobody to cater to me like that.
Yeah.
One of her brothers, Gussie and I had got back from Jacksonville just before dark. And Gus's husband came out and told, said Lulu had shot herself that day. And I said, well, I'm so shocked. I said, now she'd have burned herself up, I wouldn't have been shocked. And Gus said, oh, what do you mean? And I said, well, I just meant that she's too careless with the stove. So that night, but she was in the hospital, but that night, one of her brothers come along there and asked if we heard any more from him. He said, no. And he said, why? Being she didn't bleed to death, said she was over that, said if Hamper had put a whip on her years ago and put it to work, said she would have thought about shooting herself.
Now, Gussie said that?
No, it was Lulu's brother.
That her brother said that.
But he, Hamper didn't hear it. He'd have gotten behind him, though.
Yeah.
He hired somebody, I tell you, after she got better. But anyway, I'll tell you how Hamper found her. But when he... She went to Lake City Hospital. She wore this hospital out over here, which is like James Road.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't know it at the time, but after then I heard that Dr., I forgot his name. But anyway, he laid way to catch Hamp, telling me. She said this, Miss Lulu. She wanted to stay in the hospital. She didn't want to go home. She wouldn't tell Hamp this. But anyway, finally the doctor told Hamp that he was dismissing him tomorrow. So. But she stayed in that hospital until I began to think. Of course it wasn't that sick, but anyway, then Hamp sent her to Lake City when she shot herself, and after the wound was healed up, but then I call it a mental hospital, Hamp never did name it to me, but somewhere in Jacksonville, but after she was much, much better, I went with Hamp to see her. That was so pitiful. She told Hamp she wanted him to leave some money with her. And Hamp said, well, I'll have to check the lady that got the treasure, run the treasure. He said, they won't let you have but $5 is the most you can have. She said, well, I don't care nothing about what's in the treasure. I want some money of my own. He said, what in the world would you do with money? She said, I could hire my drawers washed. Hamp said, what? Now, then you see how, what caused her to shoot herself, obviously. She said, oh, they'll hire my clothes washed, but she said, I have to wash my own underclothes, and said, every morning I have to wash my own drawers by hand. But that was terrible work, you know. So, Hamp went and checked and come back, and he said, no, they won't let me leave you another penny. And he said, I can't give it to you, said it has to come through them. Well, it won't never do me no good if I've got to get out and wash drawers every morning. She said, it won't never do me no good. And I thought, great mercy. But now I kept my old big mouth out of that.
Yeah.
That was such a hard job, you know. But you see why? Now, Hamp had hired somebody to wait on her and wait on her.
Yeah.
And the morning, of course, she was one of them sweet. Like I used to tell her, she'd catch a bull and hold if she wanted to. She could. She was strong, but before Hamp, that was the weakest thing we've ever seen. Because there one time she told me to go tell Hamp to come in there, which my older sister didn't hardly ever go there. Hamp would have to come see her wherever I was at. But that's when Cody might have been high at this table, and then I had a nephew with a sister, you know, a little boy. And we just stopped there a few minutes. And Lulu just got back from the grocery store, but sister didn't hardly ever go to Live Oak, but we'd been to Live Oak, and ever packed them young Joe bananas and apples, and I don't know what all to eat coming home because he didn't eat much dinner. Well, we got the hams, and they wanted something to eat. And I said, Lulu, don't you have something I can fix a sandwich for these boys? I said, they're about to starve. She had light bread, and I don't know what all that on the cabinet. She hadn't finished putting up the groceries. Y'all stay and I'll fix your supper. And I said, oh, no, I'm not going to stay for supper. I said, I want to feed these youngs so we can stay a little while. I said, Sister and Hamp wants to talk. Well, I'll fix y'all supper. And I said, no, thank you. I don't want no supper. Well, then the rest of this had come to me. I want something to eat. In here had come the other one. Oh, I want something to eat. Well, I couldn't get Sister to leave, you know. So there we stayed. But anyway, then, you know, a 5-pound bag of sugar is something real heavy. The canister was here, and that 5-pound bag of sugar was there. So Lulu told me to go tell Hamp to come in there. Well, if the president had been there, you know, he'd have got up and went. So he went in there, and she told him, Hamp, I want you to empty the sugar for me. He'd taken that lid off of that canister and emptied that sugar in that canister and shook the sack and put it in the trash can and went on back, you know. He was supposed to do that. I thought to myself, great mercy, but I was scared to say anything. Okay, then another time I was there, and she had a flower, a little cactus, beautiful cactus. Now, that little pot might have held a quart of dirt. And it was sitting on the floor. And, of course, the maid hadn't been there that morning to clean up. And I said, Lulu, can I put this little plant on the table? I had a cute little table. I said, can I put this plant up here to look at it? Yes. Put it up there. And said, I wish you'd leave it there. She said, I forgot to ask Camp to put it up there. And she said, it was so heavy, I wouldn't try to put it up there. But she said, if you can lift it, you can put it up there. Talk so weak. I looked at her. I said, why, Lulu? I said, I can take up 3 or 4 of them. Where you want to move? I just forgot to get Hamp to put it up there. And the maid hadn't got there that day. Just such that made me sick in my belly. Excuse me.
Well, Hamp was, he was ahead of all the rest of them. He had more, he's a bigger man than any others. Harlow, what size man was he?
Well, Harlow used to weigh about 180 pounds. But
was he as tall as I am?
Harlow was 5'8", I believe, and 3/4.
Well, yeah. Well, I thought he was a little taller than that. But anyhow, he was bigger than I was.
But you know, he had the last, little over 2 years before he died, he had a stroke from his head to his foot.
Yeah.
He really lost weight.
Well, was Munch as big as, what size was he? In my recollection is Munch wasn't quite that, was he big?
Oh yeah, Munch weighed, I imagine, about 180 to 90 pounds. Of course, he just got, that actually got up in years. But Munch was 5'9" tall,
yeah.
If I remember right.
So Hamp was way out ahead of
them. Yep. Well, the last time I talked about just now, any of our brothers, while Hamp was living, I said, well, Munch worked hard, but if he got a dollar and an old nigga come up there and put up a full mouth, he'd let him borrow it. Well, you know he wasn't going to pay it back.
Oh.
Well, Harlow, if he wanted to work, he'd work. If he didn't, he didn't.
Always that way?
Yep, all his life. But Hamp didn't have no better sense. He'd work, and if Hamp made a dollar, he wanted to put up part of it. He didn't want to all spend it. He'd put up part of it. But I told Gussie, I said, well, he wasn't a more worker than Munch, but he just had a different sense to know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Now, Hamp would let you borrow it if you was in a tie, but if you went off and bought beer with his money, you didn't ever borrow another penny from him.
But Munch...
Oh, yeah.
He let him... Talking
into it. Well, I'm sorry for him. And I said, well, who's sorry for you?
Yeah.
I know this old nigga used to be sick, and they'd borrow money. One of them borrowed $6 from Bill, and Munch laughed about what I said about that. I said, you better not never get sick no more. I said, if you're not going... Now, that was actually Bill got to where he wasn't no good. If he'd have been in his thing at all, I wouldn't have had my mouth in it. But I told her, I said, well, Leo's not able to see about it, but I said, that's the last time you're going to be sick. I said, he's not going to give you no more money to go off to, Munch said she went to a juvenile, she didn't say. I said, Leo's not going to give you no more money to be sick on. Why, Miss Alma? I said, nope. I said, he didn't really know what she was going to do with her. I said, he wouldn't have been giving you no money to go to no juke with. She said, who told you I went to a juke? I didn't tell her, but Munch said he saw her go down and then they went down back of the pool room.
Yeah.
And Munch said that's where she went and said that's where they sold beer to the niggas around there. And he said that's right where that old nigga gal went. So I told her, I didn't tell her all that, but I said, you're not going to get more money to go off to drink on. Ah, Miss Salma. Stay where you're at, that's it.
Right where you are.
Well, there was always plenty of work to do. I know that. If you do it. And, I don't know.
I tell you, this is not beans and peas and
vegetables
like you always have.
Well, this looks like a mighty pretty dish to me.
You see, by the time I got up there, that public work had come in, and nobody, you know, they'd all cut down or right smart on the work.
Yeah.
And now, but all them boys had done plenty of work in that time.
That's for sure.
I know.
Yeah. Leo used to say there hadn't been many people that worked any harder than him and Munch and Hamp. Of course, Harlow wasn't included. Well, we didn't know it. But Boy worked. He was a little older than Harlow, of course. But he married Judy, one of my sisters. And after he was married, he said that Harlow would go to school. And then he'd call the road and he'd answer. And he'd slip off at recess and go down there and stay with them boys at the garage. Well, we didn't know that for years after then, you know. But that was Harlow for you. He wouldn't work. He didn't want to. And he didn't care about putting up one penny. Not one penny.
Well, I didn't know just how far back that went. I knew, you know, things changed and all. But he's always like that.
Always. That's what he got with being the baby.
Yeah. But you know what? You know, I've heard it said so much that they get along just as well when they figure it that way as they do.
Why, sure.
Somebody come along and take care of him.
Well, you know, Gussie furnished him the place to stay over there, and done a lot for them. Of course, after they died, she sold the place. She said not long ago she'd have kept it another year or two, said she'd have doubled her money on it.
Yeah.
But she really lost money by it. Harlow, you know, he wasn't going to look after nothing too much. And she pretended to raise cows.
Harlow was a pretty good farmer.
Oh, yes, he wanted to. He could farm. Yes, sir.
Now, you see, he raised a good field of cantaloupes up there.
Yeah.
And then he didn't take too much interest in selling.
No.
And then he raised a good tobacco crop up there.
Why, sure.
And I can see him now running around there looking for some of those no-count niggers. Oh, they were impudent by that time. They were impudent.
You know, I used to get after him. Now, Munch, poor ignorant thing, if he had to ask, that's what it said, and he had to bite her. One got sick, he'd quit and take that and back to Lockaway. Well, Harlow got to where one got sick. Harlow said he didn't want to work.
Yeah.
They had to stay out there and spend the day till he got ready to take all them hands home. He wouldn't have to quit work and go take one of them.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, it took him a while to learn that. Well, I went around, we went around there to all them places. I didn't know there was so many places out in the woods where them those people hung up.
Yeah,
she's helped us play chair like she thinks I'm going to work. She don't know I'm retired. And nothing to retire on.
Yes, sir. Ooh, we have to be retired. you know.
Oh, yeah. We need some good fish.
I think Alma says the blessing. Would you say the blessing for us?
Lord, make us thankful for these and all other blessings. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
I remember that Leo said such a good blessing.
And he wouldn't, he wouldn't eat without it. Oh.
And he wouldn't eat without it. No, he's fine.
And you know, Coach got his children eating the baby. He's going to say, before he eats, he don't want you to eat, please. Granny, you haven't let me. And he said, Granny, you haven't let me pray.
Oh, really?
The little fella had chicken pox week before last thing it was. Now, his mother brought him out there during the morning of the evening and told me that he was sick with chicken pox. Next morning, the teacher called out there and wanted to know if I had any way to see him get him. He was sick at school, sick with the chicken pox. And I said, I'm sorry, but I said, there's nobody here but me. So she called Cody, and he wasn't going to come home to eat, but I thought he'd have to bring Paul out there. I didn't know they were going to call him, but I thought they would. I didn't call him. Lo and behold, he went and got the young'un, and happened he called Ann at home, and yet she got a trailer down and left the young'un there with her. He said, come on, I had him with the snack fixed, and he said, I thought you knew I wasn't coming home for dinner. I said, well, I thought you were going to have to bring Paul to me and just well to eat. He's quit me on Friday. But, of course, if his boss man is not there, a few times he come and got me, and if I miss, he'll meow. Oh, I thought you were going to go eat with me. Nope. I don't like to go out and eat all the time.
Did you have any sand this year?
I was telling these women coming along. And you know, I had a few bottles when you saw it, but I've got some now. And them sandstorms would cover those old bottles.
You got 1,000 and over bottles.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Got any a lot of shapes, colors, and I don't know. No, not old. See, I don't get shows on. Met up with her and hadn't seen her in a while, and she said, you know what I started? No. She said, I'm collecting bottles. She said, I've got 17 bottles. I said, come see me sometime.
Where was Leo's sister Eula?
She lived right about that direction from us. Did you ever go by Forest Grove Church?
Yeah.
Well, she lived just this side of that on that same hard road.
Who would Leo buy those beautiful red hogs from that had the cholera? And then the lodge together. He lived right over there.
Yeah.
No, not Forest Grove. Forest Grove's out west.
Yeah.
This is on towards town.
Now, who in the world did he buy those? Must have been Mr. Pope.
Yes, so it was. Oh, they were beauties.
Yeah, well, you know, there's big masons.
Big masons.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bill got to where he wouldn't quit going to drive. He got to where he couldn't walk at all, you might say. But Mr. Pope, you know, got $13,000 for that superhighway crossing his land. And there was the same people the more.
Oh, really?
No. And Bill said he'd wear dry cleaning pants down there, and Lil and Mother Rooks would wear them old suntan clean starch. Ah, and that's what they'd wear to the lodge meeting. But after Lil got to where he's so feeble,
I had to stir it up.
Whoever was there, you know, to go up with him, that was the most miserable steps. One flight right straight. And no, well, I tell you, I went up there a few times with Lil, but it felt like me, I'd rather stay down. And Lil said some of them go up with him and somebody, you know, come down with him. And Mr. Pope never did go up with him or never did come down with him. And I said, well, I thought he was as good a friend as you had. He said, just like this. He said, well, I used to think so. But he dressed up. And then Lil was too afflicted that to spoil his something. And he first, Lord.
Well,
the prettiest pigs I ever saw. Just as pretty as any I ever saw. And Leo didn't have them long.
No, I believe that was Mr. Coker's boat, though.
That's what it was. I remember his name. And the first thing you know, they're all laying out there, just carts.
That's right.
All that beautiful thing. Didn't take them long, did it?
Mm-mm.
And I don't know whether you are supposed to vaccinate them ahead of time or not. Supposed to? And they just skipped over that.
But Mr. Pope, if he was the man, he really paid for it.
Oh, he did.
The way I didn't mean that right, just I shouldn't have said that, but Munch said he knew them hogs had the collar reason why he put in to sell them right and just had to sell them. Well, last time I heard him talking to Bill that he had buried, he went in the hog business, he was big Mr. Pope, and he said he'd already buried 9 brood sows and seemed like me 80 shows. And Munch said, yeah, that's what he got for giving Mills all them old, selling them all them old collar hogs. Munch said, why, anybody in the world would have known it.
Hmm.
I'd never noticed, in fact, I didn't know nothing about the collar. But after Lord had Mills shut up that day or two, I said, did you know that hog was blistered with sun? No. I said, he was lying down, and I said, he must have stayed in the sun a long time. I said, right on his jaw, so red. Couldn't find out just fevered to that or something, but I'd never seen one with cholera, you know. I didn't know.
Yeah, I remember that.
So Munch said then that's where Mr. Pope paid for it by selling a little bit of cholera.
Well, I tell you what, you're just not supposed to do business with your brothers in the lodge.
I found that out a long time ago.
It'll break up the lodge, won't it?
I'm afraid.
I know that, and I've known that a good while, but I still do business with it, and it always turns out wrong.
Are you Mason?
No.
Are you Mason? I wouldn't say that to Leo for nothing, but not the way he loved it. I wouldn't have hurt his feelings about it.
Oh, he did.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he loved it from way back.
That's right. He wouldn't miss a meeting, would he?
Nope, as he got to where he walked on the cane, couldn't hardly go. He'd creep down there, and some of them go with him up the steps, and somebody come down with him. But this, you know, they look after each other.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Miles Strickland didn't come because there's Masons. But Mr. Pope come twice. You know, Leo was secretary 13 years. Well, one time he come over there to check something or other what to do about something, and the secretary do it. And then, I didn't call that a visit. So then he brought Leo a past master's emblem, and I didn't call that a visit. Lodge just sent him out there to bring that pen. And Lil looked at it and had me to put up. But anyway, I didn't call out a visit, but then I'm just telling about the good friends and the Masons, how much they'll visit. And they're supposed to look after the widows and all that, and they've never been one there yet and asked me if I had enough food. Not that I expected them to.
Uh-huh.
Well. Who was your neighbor over there who wouldn't let us put a light pole on his land? What's his name? Don't you know?
Aubrey Wilson had it rented, but it belonged to his stingy brother, Bub, but he lived off. But when Mr. Wilson had it in possession, she and Ms. Wilson inherited that land, see, but Mr. Wilson managed it. He let that light wire come across there so they could get electricity. But you know, then after he died and it went to his oldest son,
yeah.
He wouldn't let y'all get no electricity from him.
No. Oh, that's right. That's right. That was in Mr. Wilson's family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. One of the healthiest outfits I ever saw.
Yeah, to stir the feet up from the bottom.
Was over there at Herbert.
Well, I told you. No
Mary,
shame.
Were there all them, that chicken house full of chickens over there, and just something going on all the time. Them boys growing up, and Herbert out there. We asked him one time, Herbert, why you want that great big old tractor? He says, well, sir, I've always been a little bitty man.
I want a big tractor. But you don't believe this, but you quit drinking. All right, that's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I don't know how it happened, but I was by there one night. I think I was there with Hollow. And Herbert had one of them spells with that kidney stone. And I hadn't heard tell of those things. I never had one myself. But that thing hurt so bad, he just lay there and gritted his clenched his fist, and the cold perspiration just poured off. And that lasted a long time. I don't know what happened to it afterwards, but he sure had it that night. Why, if I'd had anything like that, I'd been there a week for another week, I wouldn't been able to pick up my hat. And the next morning, he went right off to the road department.
Well, I... If anybody knows, I guess I know. Doctor, just here in yonder, Hampton taking me to a doctor, and there wasn't nothing wrong with him. But it happened, I could work in the daytime, but at night I didn't sleep much. My stomach would hurt me. If I lay on this side, it'd pull in that so I couldn't stand it. And if I lay on that side would hurt, but there wasn't nothing the matter with me. Had to lie flat on my back for years. And so then, after I found out my kidneys were, I didn't know what was going on both. I thought I really was in a fix. Gussie carried me to the hospital. And, of course, Dr. Thomas Sr., of course, he just kept me there, made x-rays and tested and all that till he could get an appointment with Dr. McKeever in Jacksonville. He said that was the best kidney specialist in the state. But anyway, Dr. Weeks told Gussie, said he believed it was kidney stones. It was too late to try to find out. But I passed the stone while I was over there, but I was so doped up. I'm telling you the truth. A nurse come in there one morning before daylight, and she had on a thick wool sweater and had that fan on me, and the whole print of my head was on that pillow, was just as wet, just sobbed. She said, oh, Miss Clark, she said, I saw your light on before I got to in the hall good. She said, I knew you were suffering. But there's one, I think they had to go to the supervisor to get that dope. But there's one, I didn't know why. She'd come in there just as nice. Now, Miss Clark, when you get better, turn on your signal. I'll come back and do anything you need, but long as you're in such a field as that, don't turn your light on. I said, well, I won't need you after I get better.
Yeah.
But now that's the truth. My pillow, where my, just all you.
You had that. But then you passed the stone.
Yep, I passed the stone about the side of the kidney, Sandspur.
Good Lord. Ain't that a pretty good sight?
No, doctor. Somebody showed me one big as my thumb and as long as that finger. Now, he said it was one, I don't know. That was Dr. Fitzpatrick, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess he's the truth in him. Sometimes.
Might be. Brother Ambie said I didn't have enough confidence in doctors.
Alma, I can't quite place that place over there. It was over there. Oh, let me see. I don't know. You turned off of that road. That's a. Is that road that Herbert lived on? Where did it go to? Not Williston.
Alaska. No. Newberry.
Newberry. On the Newberry Road. Now, right along in there, was that lane, you turned way back in there, and there's an old place, and the boys, they raise melons. And they raise good ones. And they was, I didn't know them. I just knew of them, and I was back there.
We got half a melon. Yeah, I know it. We're going to cut it later.
And, they was back there, and they played out that Western music at various places. But I guess it was their mother that lived there and sort of kept the place for them. It was way back.
From Herbert.
Yeah, somewhere along in there.
That old lady died about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But you talking about, I have to tell you about everything, but I was so hurt about that old woman. I never had seen her but a few times.
Well, she stayed back there all the time.
Guess what caused her death? Starved to death. Oh, when I found that out.
Well, I can't imagine that.
Oh, you mean just good for nothing? They lived on her Social Security.
Yep. And different people said, the doctor said that. On the nurse, well, you know what that is. But when somebody went there, she had an axe hanging on the bed and said an old loaf of bread, and it lay there, said just as dry and hard, and a piece of jar of peanut butter. So I don't know how come this boy of hers let them go there. I don't know much about that. And so she wanted some buttermilk. And one of the women went to town, got it. But the one told me about it, they were sister-in-laws, and the one told me about it said that poured her out a little glass and said that she just turned up and drank right down. And she said, can I have some more? And she said, let's wait a little while. And she said, I want some more now. So the next day she went back out there.
She looked me in the morning, but the next day she went out there. And had to hand her in work, hand him to sign and sent it. Got in the hospital and got a clean bit, and I think she was about 3 hours after she got in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And they said she was
far to death.
Just too far gone.
And Herbert would have carried him some. He used to fix her dinner and take it down there when Mary's living, and then after Mary's gone. But Elton stopped people. There's Church of Christ, and you know they reach all out. Nobody never did take her thing, never did go to see her. And when she died, they didn't take a mouthful of food there. And I said, well, I can't understand it. Because they always reach after them. Herbert said, well, he wouldn't let them go to the house. And so what could they do?
Oh.
They'd have fed that woman if he'd let them go on there.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't.
Was it just one boy or two?
Well, there was, she didn't have but one boy. But he lived with a woman and had a boy.
Oh.
And that old heifer wouldn't even cook, I don't reckon.
They had dogs back there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they had dogs. And you know what went with that place? Old boy sold it and sold the money away. I don't think he'd had any penny up in 6 months.
Well, I didn't realize he was... He made money on the, on that melon.
I think he did. I don't know.
Because he was good. They had good melons over there. I helped him gather them.
He did?
Yeah.
Well, he joined the hippies.
Oh,
Well, first he lived with, they said it was his friend. I don't know. And then, but he sold that place his mother had. And then he lived with his friend, they said. But she lived with him there before his mother died. And had his own boy. Well, after he sold that place, I don't know what come to him. He killed her son. So in a little while then, she left him. So he joined the hippies.
Where's your child, Faye? See if you can't round her up. She's been off.
Who?
She ought to be back by now. Hey,
okay. Oh.
Oh, that was something. That was something. That melon season up there, that was something. I'm telling you, I, you know, the last thing I remember about Newberry, they'd had a bad melon season there, and at one of those service stations there, on the road right there in Newberry, going on up to Gainesville, they had melons stacked as high as the little tree.
I know Elmer Lewis had land rented from his orange. And I don't hold him against him, but he wasn't what I thought he was. I was so disappointed. I had one whole dollar bill, and somebody told me about his load of watermelons rented from his orange. You know where she lives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I gave the young man a dollar and told him to go there and ask Inez if he'd sell him. I didn't want the price, but anyway, to tell him if he had a dollar and whatever, you know, she'd sell him for the dollar. But she didn't charge him. Give him a call, you know. Plenty of calls. She didn't charge him. Excuse me. Next day, Elmer come in and want to talk to Lil. If I knew what he wanted, I wouldn't have told Leo to talk to him. I'd talk to him myself. Guess what?
Leo is easy.
Yeah, but Elmo would have, he'd left that easy. So I went and told Leo that Elmo wanted to see him. Guess what he wanted to tell him? Cody'd been over there in his watermelon patch because he saw where he rode the bicycle over there where they loaded and where it left.
Uh-huh.
I told Leo, I said, why, I knew he went, I said.
What got into them?
Oh, this didn't have no sense. I said, I gave the child a dollar and told him to go over there and tell Inez whatever she had for a dollar to sell it, if she'd sell it to him.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm going to say that Cody'd been over there in his watermelon. But now he didn't tell that the young'un offered to pay for it.
Yeah.
Because his mother stole it, see?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the cause is just as good as the other. Sometimes they're better.
Well, it didn't
matter. That's what we do. We always go down here to the store, and they always have a stack of those cause down there, and we buy them for two for a dollar, three for a dollar, or something like that.
And they're just as good.
Anything that's red and juicy, the children like it anyhow. They don't ask how much it costs, do they?
Nope. Told you about one right there in the dining room. I told Tommy if he wanted to cut it, boy, got back. Get to keep him, Cody.
Let me look this.
See,
your tea sweeten up and better stir it in the bottom. I had to stir mine up.
I don't ever have mine very sweet.
Oh, you don't have very sweet then. Well, I have to kind of have mine a little sweet.
I used to have it sweet, but you see.
Are you not?
I get it from Cody. He doesn't like it sweet, so.
So you got an apple.
That's
my
right.
My daughter eats it, drinks it without any sugar. And the hot tea, she nearly always, she doesn't have sugar in it at all. Just got in the habit of it, and says she really likes it now. But I have to have a little sugar in mine. I drink more milk than anything else. I don't use coffee at all.
You don't?
No, I don't even, I never have.
have Peyton, Frank Parker.
Hmm.
And my husband didn't until, we'd been married a long, long time. We were on a trip with another car, and they had coffee every morning, and we would cook out, and it smelled so good. There's nothing that smells any better. And they got to saying, "Come drink, have some coffee with me this morning." So he got to going over and drinking some, and so he got to this way. He drank coffee then every morning from then on until he died. But, and I didn't even have a coffee pot until then.
Oh.
Well, we'd been married, and children was pretty good sized children. And my father used to come to see me, and I'd have to make coffee in the stew in a little pan for him. I didn't have a coffee pot.
Well, that beats all. I thought everybody had a coffee pot and drank coffee.
At the very beginning. Well, I had one. Of course, he began to drink it.
Yeah.
Of course, I got one. Oh, yeah, we had to have several because some of them were easily broken and weigh them up.
We never did have no glass one, but
my husband found one that he really liked better than he did the other kind. But he broke several of them, and so we just quit and finally got we just had percolators of all kinds. It's breaking, tear up.
My old daddy was easy to fix for. Anything you fixed to cook for him, he'd eat it and enjoy it. Never did ask for but one thing. My mother had an open pot the way she boiled her coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, after that pot gave out, of course, I had a percolator.
Yeah. Later on.
Yeah, but I just taken that perk all inside out and used it for a pot as long as he lived.
Well,
that was the only thing that he especially wanted, that boiled coffee.
Boiled coffee.
Of course, now people make fun of you if they see you boiling coffee.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's the way he wanted it, and that's the way I fixed it. Well, in fact, I seldom ever drank coffee long then, and long last year he lived, I got to where I drank it part-time for breakfast with him, but he was so glad when I started drinking coffee.
With him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you don't drink it now?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you drink it now?
Yes,
yeah.
I go that far.
Some people have to have the coffee they send the first thing in the morning.
Oh, yeah. I have a sister like that.
Mm-hmm.
She fixes her coffee pot at night and plug it in. So, next morning time she gets up, she plugs in that coffee pot. Well, every time she fixes her bite to eat and wash her teeth and what she's going to do, you see why the coffee's made.
Yeah.
But she has to have that coffee.
Oh, yeah, but my husband used to say he had to get built up in the morning.
Yeah.
He had to have his coffee.
Yeah.
Before he passed away, that's what he'd drink. Get his coffee and drink his coffee. But I think I could. I think I could really could drink it and like it and all right. But why get in the habit of it if I really don't care for it?
Now that's
true. And so you see?
Yep.
I say, what in the world? Why should I get in the habit of just having to have coffee when I don't think it's any kind of food for you?
No, not a thing.
They say it's not any food, you know. The only thing with sugar and cream is you put that in.
Yeah,
of course,
yeah.
That adds to it.
Yeah.
And so many people can't take sugar and stuff. A lot of people have diabetes. That's that kidney trouble, you know.
Yep.
A lot of people have it. I have a sister that's a diabetic, and she says, it's awful. You can't eat a lot of things.
I had a neighbor. God, I was mentioning him a while ago. She had high blood pressure. Sometimes her face would look like it was painted red.
Yeah.
And I'd say, man, what's happened? And I say, your face looks like it's about to bleed. All blood pressure is up.
Yeah, blood pressure.
And she'd cut off, she'd blood port. I seen him bake a big ham and cut off the fly fat big.
Oh, and that was the worst thing that you could do.
She'd eat that pork. She loved it better than any kind of meat you could have. Well, she's a diabetic, and she'd get up there and cook a cake for breakfast. That's right. Get up there and cook a big old chocolate cake and eat enough of it 3 people. So I said to her one day, I said, well, Mary, how do you get by? I said, and she had a heart condition. I said, this
was diabetic.
Yeah, and I said, this, that, and the other wrong way. And I said, you eat more pork than any woman I've ever seen. She said, well, that's what I want, and that's what I'm going to eat. I said, well, go to it. So another time I seen her eating cake, and I said, well, Mary, I thought you said you wasn't supposed to eat sweet. Well, the doctor said not to, but I said that. Well, now, she was so bad off, so she had a tag on a chain around her neck that said,
tell people that she
was a diabetic in case she had a blackout and knew what was wrong.
Yeah.
And she would cook cake. I've never seen nobody cook that much cake and eat that much cake in my life.
She wouldn't pay any attention to what she was eating.
Nope. Whatever she wanted that. She said, well, she didn't have but one time to live. No, I don't. I know I haven't got but one time to live, but I wouldn't want to rush it. She'd eat anything she wanted and as much of it. Didn't make no difference to her.
Now, Faye is, I just, you know, she's been out all over, you know, we've got all this acreage here,
mm-hmm.
and she didn't know what time you were coming, so she's come in,
mm-hmm.
and she's going to bring a watermelon already cut.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I sure enjoyed that dinner, Faye. Me and Guy talked to y'all, didn't even get to eat your dinner, did you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good night.
So just keep your plates with you.
Yeah, we'll just keep our plates.
You know, Brother Munch used to tell me, he said, I'd rather talk than eat, which, and Cody said I talk too much. I said, he's the one, and Cody doesn't talk much.
Your nephew.
Yeah, he doesn't talk too much, and he gets after me, but the older I get, the more talk. That's right. Did you know
you mean the older you're getting now, the more...